For however long you've been a Christian, can you say with confidence that you now know how to better discern the will of God in your life? Do you know now how to discern better, how to distinguish better between things that could potentially be God's will, but are not God's will for yourself? And if you're like me, you probably learned by making a lot of mistakes leading up to that. But I do know that sometimes our churches and our leaders don't focus on helping people discern the will of God and how to learn for yourself so that you're not dependent on others. So we're going to be kind of exploring this today. I think we have a great biblical passage that shows some of the how-tos and some of the things to avoid. So we're continuing on in our new series, Speak, Lord, We Are Listening. And part three today is learning how to align your prayers with God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. So we're going to have two passages that we're looking at today. Only one verse from Romans chapter 12, I believe it is. I could be wrong on the chapter, but Romans chapter 12. And then we're going to look at a brief passage in Luke chapter 10, which I believe really is where the how-to is going to come from. So I'm going to show you Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in two different translations, because I think they really help each other out if you understand both. So in the New Living Translation, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Same passage in the New International Version says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So, you know, this is, Romans chapter 12 is all about what life in the kingdom of God looks like, and it talks about life in the community of God, his church. And what I want to focus on, though, is sometimes we can be, you know, spiritually born again. We can be part of the community of God. But sometimes we still have those old patterns of thinking that affect our understanding of how God works and his will in our life. And sometimes what happens is it causes our prayers to be misaligned with what God actually wants. And so we're going to be talking about, so how do we get more aligned with what we know God's will is, or how can we know God's will? And I think that a beautiful passage to do this is Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 38. And it's not actually about prayer, but you're going to see how it correlates. Luke 10, 38 says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.' But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" So again, you're probably like, what does that have to do with prayer? It's not so much about prayer as much as how easy it is for us, even as Christians, to miss what God is up to miss what God's doing, to miss what God's desire is, because we have our own agenda. Okay? So we're in Speak, Lord, We Are Listening. And principle number one today is, in order to align your prayers with God's will, you need to prioritize the word of God in your life. So often I hear people say, you know, I don't know God's will. What is God's will? Sometimes the things we're struggling with, whether they're God's will or not, have already been laid out clearly in the Bible. And we have to know the word of God so that when God has already provided an answer on a subject, we know what to do. And then we can seek him in the areas that are not specifically mentioned in the Bible. But, you know, when we're talking about things like, hey, and don't get me wrong, I understand these things are difficult. But, hey, you know, I have a mother or a father that was, you know, abusive to me growing up. Maybe it was physical, maybe it was psychological, maybe it was emotional. And now my parent has aged and they're dependent and they have nobody else to help them. And they're asking me to help them. What do I do? Well, the commandment actually covers that already. And that's honor thy father and thy mother, right? The word of God tells us love your enemies. You know, so there's things that are difficult for us to comprehend as human beings. Our emotions don't want to do it. Our will doesn't want to do it, but God has spoken clearly. So we're not going to be talking about those things. We're going to be talking about how do I know, for example, I hear this all the time, and if this has ever happened to you, I don't know that it's happened to you, so I'm not picking on you. I just know I hear this a lot. So a lot of times, single Christians, you know, they those that want to be married, they'll, you know, they're dating and hopefully they're keeping purity in the relationship. But I'll get people that are in some really toxic relationships. And their question is, you know, they'll come to me for counseling and they'll want to get counsel to make the relationship better. And I go, again, they're not married, so this is different. So they'll say, you know, sometimes it's clear as day that these two people should not be together. And when I try to gently broach that subject, the first question I always get back is, but wait a minute, if God didn't want us to be together, why did he allow us to get together? Right? And the thing is, well, how much of that was God's will and how much of that was your will? Right? And so those are the kinds of things we're talking about, where you have freedom of choice, you have free will, and as a Christian, it is your heart's desire to do God's will. So how can we make sure that what we're doing is actually God's will? So as we look at the passage again, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. So let's talk about it, right? Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, is in town. Should I or should I not invite him into my home and provide a meal for him and take care of him? That's pretty simple. I think the answer is yes. So that's good. That got taken care of. Her sister Mary, this is Martha's sister, Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. Should I be sitting down listening to what this Son of God, Lord of Lords, Messiah is saying? Yes. That's another positive. Great. We know what God's will is. The issue is that we're about to see is that Mary is prioritizing the word of God in her life, and that's going to create a relationship conflict with her own sister. Because in order to listen to the word of God over anyone else, even your own self, it's going to put you at odds and it's going to put you in conflict with other people or other things or other agendas that are not God's. And we need to understand that this is natural and it's a part of what growing in the faith is all about. But we need to prioritize the word of God. So how do you prioritize the word of God in your life? This is not meant to make you feel guilty or shame, but, you know, when you don't come to church, how are you getting the word of God into your life? Do you understand what you're reading? Right? For a lot of people, this is not where we want to be, but it's where we're at. For a lot of people, we don't get the word of God into us unless we're at church. And yet, as we look at Christianity globally, but especially in the West, church attendance and church involvement is probably at its all-time low. It's where now people, I think the regular attendance pattern for it was 67% of people is once a month. Now, is once a month good? Yeah. Do we prefer you come once a month versus zero? Yeah. But what about more than that? Because odds are, if you're not coming often enough, you're not hearing the word of God. Odds are most people don't study the Bible on their own. They're not part of a Bible study. They're not part of a prayer group. And so what happens is the word of God is being minimized in our lives, not prioritized, right? So we already know here at our church, we're not about programs and we're not about beating you over the head and showing up for things. But my hope is that even when you don't show up for things, first of all, I hope you do show up for things. Second of all, I hope that if you don't, that you're still training yourself and disciplining yourself in being in the Word of God daily. It makes life so much easier when you already know what the game plan is, right? My buddy Ralph, I love this guy. He has like every instruction manual to every device and machine we have here in this church. And it's genius because I'm over here trying to solve things without looking at the instruction manual. He's like, hey, did you look at the instruction manual? Right? Like life becomes so much easier when you have the instruction manual. When the manufacturer has told you how to deal with these things. And yet if you're a fool like me, you're going around trying to do things, figuring it on your own, wasting time researching when there's really no need because it's already been laid out for you. So this is why we need to prioritize the Word of God in our life if we want to align our prayers. It goes back to even people's misunderstanding of how prayer works. I hear people all the time, quote, if you ask, you will receive it. If you knock, the door will be open, right? True, but that does not apply to anything and everything you ever pray. I can pray all day long for God to let me win the lotto, or I see people do this over somebody that they're interested in, want to marry. God, let that person be my wife or be my husband. That's not how things work, right? So we need to understand what the Word of God says in its context in order to truly understand its meaning. Principle number two today, in order to align your prayers with God's will, you need to focus on what you need to do and not on what others are doing. As we pick up the verse again, it says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. So Martha is distracted by her own work. She's, right, she's lost in that. And then in her frustration and probably in her anger, she looks at what her sister's doing, and that doesn't seem fair. So what do we do when we're all out of shape? We're now trying to command God, telling him what to do. You're telling this same Son of God, you're telling this same Messiah, you're telling this same Lord of Lords, tell my sister to come help me, right? And this is where prayer goes wrong so often. We're telling God what to do. And not only are we telling him what to do, we're telling him what to do with someone else's life. And that's where I see prayers get really mixed up, right? God, change my husband. God, change my wife. God, change my child, right? Do you understand the problem with these prayers? The purpose of prayer is for God to change us and for us to be a part of the answer in what we're asking for. And so we need to focus on what we're supposed to do and doing it in a Christ-like manner and not focusing on what others are doing or not doing. That will always distract us from being aligned with what God's will is. Principle number three. In order to align your prayers with God's will, you need to stop assuming that your opinions, your viewpoints, your assumptions, or your feelings are correct. As we look at, it's the same exact two verses we just looked at, verse 40. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Again, when she says, doesn't it seem fair to you? She's already made it up in her mind. This is unfair, right? She's already made it up in her mind that preparing the house for the meal and for the festival and for whatever's going on, that's more important than sitting at Jesus' feet. That's more important than the Word of God, right? This is where a lot of times our prayers get really sideways. We're assuming our opinion, our viewpoint, our assumption, or our feeling about something or someone is correct when it's not, right? I always share this all the time. You know what? One of the things I think that makes me pretty good at discerning the voice of God and the will of God is that I have been wrong so many times in the past. I've been humiliated in so many ways that this is what forced me to be humble. Literally humiliated in what I was sure was 100% God, only to watch it blow up in my face or crumble in my hands, is what trains you. It's what trains you to discern the difference. And that's where I started to learn, okay, man, that was just my opinion. Or that's just my conviction. And convictions can be good things, but the conviction is not the Word of God. right? Your conviction is based on the word of God, which means you can still get it wrong. And so what are we praying for? I was once at a church that I love. They love me. Great church. But I remember one night, you know, one of the brothers in the church, I didn't know him too well. Most of us didn't know him that well. But he comes to us on a Wednesday night prayer meeting and he says, you know, I have a court case coming tomorrow. And, you know, I'm looking at, it could be a potentially long sentence of what I'm looking at. And so I want the church to pray with me. And I even want the church to show up at the trial and pray for me. And we said, okay, right? And there was a sister there that knew him better. And so, you know, there's probably like 40, 50 people and we all just start praying. And one sister, you know, she's getting carried away. She's just praying. And she starts declaring in this prayer that, God, we know that, you know, for our brother to go to jail is not your will. So we pray against this and we pray that you would set him free. She's going on and on. Like the second she started, I just like pulled my hand back. Like, I don't think that's what's going on here. Right? It's just instinctive. Like, nah, I don't think this is right. So I still love the brother. So I go to his trial the next day and this guy, he was repentant for what he did, but he needed to go to jail. There were consequences for what he did. Right? And unfortunately for that sister, at least for a long time, she was so hurt because she thought she was ushering in the will of God in her prayer life. And that wasn't the case. That she disappeared for a long time. And this is what I'm saying. Like, we need to stop assuming that our opinions, our viewpoints, our assumptions, our feelings are correct. And that we get to tell God what to do. Because there's always potential disaster. And that's part of the issue about distorted theology. Is that when people start assuming prayer works a certain way, or that you can, you know, kind of force God's will into something, you're setting yourself up for heartbreak and you're letting the enemy win in areas that are not necessary. Principle number 4. In order to align your prayers with God's will, you need to stop trying to control or manage the life and or actions of others. Right? Again, look at what Jesus tells Martha. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it and it will not be taken away from her. Right? Do we understand how to let God be God? How to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit and take our hands off other people's lives? Do we really understand this, right? I think we struggle with this. And it goes back to the prayer, Lord, change my husband, change my wife, change my child, change my boss. We need to understand we can't control any of those things. We can't even change our own circumstances a lot of times. And so when we talk about change, when we talk about deliverance, when we talk about freedom, we need to understand that God wants us to be the change in the scenario that we're asking for change. If you want your spouse to change, then I'm pretty sure you need to change, because I'm pretty sure there's not a single person in any relationship that's 100% innocent of anything, right? If you want your child to change, I'm pretty sure as long as they're under the age of 18, that God is going to use you to change them as you discipline and as you teach. You know, you want to see your boss change. Maybe there's some things that you need to change at work. Bottom line is, our focus of our prayer is not to change other people or change what they do. Because anytime you do that, you're getting in the way of what God's doing. And our main job is to get people to the main source, which is Jesus himself. Right? Do you realize that the more we try to give rules and set up boundaries and parameters for other people, the more we become a stumbling block to people encountering God for themselves? Have you ever thought about that? Because now they don't even get to go before God face to face. They're now struggling with us, and that struggle is going to go on for a while, so they're not even thinking about bringing God into the picture. So we need to stop trying to control or manage the life and or actions of others. Principle number 5, in order to align your prayers with God's will, you need to assess and test what you're asking for and why you're asking for it. Normally, you need to have a group of spiritually mature Christians around you who have a track record for discerning the will of God in their own lives and in the lives of the church. You almost cannot assess things for yourself. Just because you have your own biases, you have your own prejudices, you have your own worldview. And so you think the way you think. You see what you see. And if you don't have somebody who thinks differently, sees differently, and is more down the line in faith than you are, then you can't do these things, right? And so these are the kinds of things that we need our spiritual community to help us with, to be non-judgmental, right? To be non-judgmental, but to be truth tellers as well. Truth telling with grace so that they can examine the motives we have behind certain things. You ever know, I don't know, maybe this is just as a pastor, but every time I talk with people who, you know, they're one way or another, they're praying for more money. They're praying for a raise at work, or they're praying they're going to win the lotto. I don't think most people pray to win the lotto, but I think they hope for it. And because if I had more money, I could do more. I could do more for God. I could do more for the gospel. Well, the problem is if you're not doing that now with the little that you have, I can guarantee you ain't going to do it with the much that you get, right? And those are some of those things. What's your motive? Why are you really asking for it? I know what you're saying that's coming out of your mouth, but what's really in your heart behind why you're asking for this thing? Okay? Principle number 6, in order to align your prayers with God's will, you need to ask him what his will is all the time and then make sure you listen to his answer. Right? So again, we want to ask God all the time. For our needs, even for our wants, even for our dreams. We want to do all those things. But when it's decision time, we need to be checking with God all the time. What is your will? What is your will in this scenario? What is your will in my life? Do we really understand that our lives don't belong to us? They belong to God. So God, what do you want to do with my life? Versus what I want to do or what I prefer. And I think that's the hard part, right? Do you really understand your life is not your own? As Americans, I think we have a real hard time with that. My life is not my own, right? We're all about our freedom. I love freedom. Let me tell you, I won't live anywhere else in this world. But that doesn't mean I'm not subject to the King of Kings. That doesn't mean that I get to make up my own will as I want. What does God want? And are we listening for what he says, right? Like I said, a lot of people confuse, God's not talking to me or God's not revealing anything. But the reality is we don't like the answer we're hearing. So we're going to ignore that and say we're not hearing anything. And principle number 7, the more you align your prayers with God's will, the more results, the more power, and the more miracles you will see. And that's the beautiful part. That the more you do it right, the more practice you get in it, the familiarity you grow, the experience you grow, the wisdom that you grow, that's what's going to grow your discernment. Because you're also going to clearly see the times that you failed and that you got it wrong. So if you fail, it's not the end of the world. If you got it wrong, no matter how humiliating it may be, it's okay because it's a part of your spiritual growth. And you need to understand that. But the point is, we must choose to grow. Don't just keep failing and failing and failing and then not changing anything and thinking it's going to change. We must grow from what we're seeing and what we're hearing and what we're doing. So align your prayer with God's will and you will come to understand God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. So I want you to think about, what is it that you've been praying for lately? What have you been praying for lately? And I just want you to run it through a quick evaluation. How do you know it's God's will? How do you know that what you're praying for is God's will? Do you have a scripture you can point to or a passage you can point to? How do you know? Do you have a group of spiritually mature members in your community that have a proven track record of hearing God well, that know the word well, that can say, yes, we see how that's God's will? Or are we playing a guessing game? Sometimes there's going to be guessing in it, but I'm telling you, that doesn't have to be the normative pattern. How do we know that what we're lining up with is God's good, perfect, and pleasing will? There's decisions that we have to make. Should I stay at this job or should I leave? What college am I going to go to? Right? Who am I going to marry? Who am I going to date? How should I manage my finances? What do I do with these family members that I can't stand but don't know Jesus? What do I do with the bulk of my time? What's God's priority for my life? These are all the kinds of questions that we're dealing with on a daily basis, right? What do I do with a prodigal child? What do I do when I'm all out of grace? There's a way to know. When it comes to relationship, when it comes to prayer, and it comes through listening, and it comes through community. So we must keep these things in mind. This is God's idea because it's good for us. So let's continue to align ourselves and to align our prayers with God's good, perfect, and pleasing will, because what happens as a result is this is where the testimonies come from. Right? This is where the power comes from. And what you'll see is you'll start to see a community of people that start to become more sensitive to God's will. I was talking about this last Wednesday with our prayer group, and what I loved and I pointed out to them was, you know, a lot of the things that we're praying for are starting to get answered. And what's happening is, even as we are looking for what does God want us to pray for, the group is getting more sensitive to what God's voice is, because we're praying for things ahead of time before they happen. And that's how you know you're starting to get lined up with God's heart. But again, it requires the quality of time with God. It requires the investment of time with God. And the whole thing behind it is, we all have so many important things to do on a daily basis that you will never naturally have the time to be praying. You must take time away from other important things because there's something more important than those important things. And that is your connection with God. That is listening to God. And that is being in the Word of God in community. Amen? Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you do speak, that you do reveal, that you do illuminate for every single one of your sons and daughters that are of faith. And you're so good, you even do it for us when we're non-believers, so that we can recognize that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one true God. Lord, knowing that you love to reveal yourself and to share just who you are and your perfect will with us, I pray that we as your children would make time to actually listen. So much wisdom, so much insight, so much power comes from you just gently giving us your will ahead of time. Lord, help us to align our prayers with your will. Help us to evaluate before we start speaking and asking and monologuing, to understand that you have a will that you're trying to communicate to us. So it might be more beneficial, perhaps, at times, to just listen instead of talking. Lord, we thank you for the example of Mary in this passage, who, while there were other important things to do, while there were societal pressures for her as a woman to go and cook and clean and prepare, that she understood that your word and time with you was more important than anything else. And she didn't let shame or guilt or judgment from others deter her from developing that relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we would demonstrate the same kind of faith. That instead of pursuing the next promotion or the next job or the next romantic relationship, that we would invest ourselves in you and in your word, to sit at your feet and to listen, knowing that no matter what others say, our master with whom we spend time will defend us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of relationship you have given us with you and with others. Lord, I pray for us, those of us that are more like Martha, still a believer, still loves Jesus, but worries too much about things that don't really matter, gets caught up in the stress and the details of things that need to get done because of societal pressure. Lord, I pray that all of us Marthas would understand that your word of God, your word and our relationship with you is more important. It's more important than a dirty house. It's more important than unwashed dishes. It's more important than all kinds of things. But, and that we need to make the conscious decision to focus on you versus other things. Lord, help us not just hear these words, but to really understand them, contemplate them, and to lock them up deep inside in our heart, our mind, in our soul, because they know that we know that they will just produce more and more abundant life in you. Lord, we thank you, and we love you, and we love you, and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.